Everybody stays awake. And so I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to be having the privilege of presenting health ministry. I believe in health ministry, and God has a health assurance plan. It's not an insurance plan, it's an assurance plan. And so that's what we all can be assured of, is that God's plan is the best plan. And when we follow God's plan, we will have results. And so the question is this: why have a health ministry? We're going to talk about how to have a health ministry, how to develop a health ministry in your church, and some of the things that you can teach. And then we'll specifically go into some of the natural lifestyle cooking, which I believe has great potential because everyone likes to eat. And there'll be people that will come to your church that would never come for a Bible study or even an evangelistic meeting, but they would enter your church for a health program. There is no question about it. And truly, the health message is the right arm of the message. I've seen this wherever we go. The only reason we got into Poland when we went there in the years of communism in 1987 was because of the fact that we had the health message and we were presenting stop smoking plans and cooking schools. I didn't know how to do a cooking school in Poland, but I said, I'll learn and I'll go down to the markets and I will make it as Polish as possible. And so you learn as you're in these countries. And in some of these countries, it was not easy. When we were going to go into Copenhagen, Denmark, very difficult. The entire conference only baptized 7 in 1 year. And so there were difficult challenges. And we asked, could we have a cooking school and just start off with some health programming? They said nobody would come. You wouldn't even get a dozen people out. Well, I'm here to tell you that I had my first and only doubleheader cooking school. Now, if any of you have been at a doubleheader or tripleheader evangelistic meeting, you know what I'm talking about. You have to get people in and out and ready for the next session. But when you do a doubleheader cooking school and you're serving samples and you're doing demonstrations, you have to have that all ready before you even begin the first session. And it was amazing. They had a hall that was to seat 60 people. And we packed it out twice, 120 people in Copenhagen, Denmark. In London, right down on Regent Street, we had health programs and a cooking school and over 120 packed in, standing and sitting on the stairs. It was amazing. All over in North America, I can tell you place after place, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Diego, Orlando, all over, Mobile, Alabama, all over, where truly we have had health as an entering wedge. So why have a health ministry and why teach health classes? Yes, we know that it can be an entrance to other programs, but why have a health ministry? Well, the basic rationale for all health ministry is our love for people. Jesus healed people who never accepted him, but he also said to the woman at the well, he said, if you drink of this water, you're going to thirst again. But if you drink of the water I give you, you're never going to thirst. And so it is not only our love for people and the desire for them to have the fullness of life that Jesus so freely offers, but it's also to give them eternal life. And so the same thing that motivates us to have people live 10 to 12 years longer motivates us to help them to live all through eternity. And so we do have an ulterior motive. Some people have asked me, do you have an ulterior motive? Yes, Jesus did, didn't he? He wanted to heal people, yes, just to help them live a better life here and now, but also he wanted to give them eternal life. And so the basic rationale is not only to give them life here, but life everlasting. because we know that they can live longer, happier, healthier when people make right lifestyle choices. So my friends, it's a matter of making right lifestyle choices. Lifestyle choices play the key role in determining both the quality and the length of life. So if we make wrong lifestyle choices, then we pay the consequences. If we make good and right lifestyle choices, it will help us to live longer, healthier, happier. So it is a matter of making good choices. But someone says, wait a minute, my heredity, my genetics, that plays a part. Well, we know that right lifestyle choices can make a difference. Loma Linda University Medical School has done many studies, as you know. Some of you may even have participated in several of the Adventist health studies. And they have shown that we can actually live 10 to 12 years longer. If you're a vegetarian, you can live about 8 years longer than the average population. If you are a plant-based vegetarian, you can live at least 10 to 12 years longer. So making right lifestyle choices makes a difference. But by our lifestyle choices, we can also contribute to premature aging. So we can age sooner and die sooner as well. And so someone says, it's my genetics. That's what it is. But look, Luigi Fontana, physician and co-director, he's not only a physician, but he's the co-director of the Longevity Research Program at Washington University in St. Louis, and he says this, and I quote, approximately 25% of your risk of death is due to genetics. Now, we know that the number one killer here in the United States of America is heart disease. Number two is cancer. Number three is stroke. And as I have done health programs literally all over the world, I find that it's basically the same three, the top killers. Now, cancer is overcoming and being the first in many countries. Cancer is number one in Singapore, I learned when I was there. Also, cancer is taking over in China and becoming number one. But heart disease and cancer and stroke and some of these other chronic diseases are actually some of the killers. But only 25% of these deaths are due to genetics. Now, look at 75%. Of the remaining 75%, diet is likely the most important factor, even more so than exercise. Now, my friends, I believe that exercise is important. I just ran my first marathon at 72 years ago, and 26.2 miles, and came in third in my age category, with several younger ones trailing behind. So I believe in exercise. The next year, I did another marathon, 26.2 miles, and came in second in my age category. So my husband says I need to do another one to come in first. But anyway, the point is that exercise is very important. Now, you don't all need to run a marathon to be healthy, but you do need to exercise. One of the documented studies today is showing that there are several reasons for Alzheimer's disease, several reasons. But one of the reasons is that when you become older, you become sedentary, and a sedentary lifestyle contributes to Alzheimer's disease when we're not exercising. And so we need to be exercising. So I believe in exercise, but of the remaining 75%, diet is most likely the most important factor. And this is a longevity study that has been done. So it is very important, and let's see if these are turning. I'm not sure. I have some things for you that I want to do on slide. I could do some for memory, but I don't want to do that if we can get that working. Is there a reason? there's just so many quotes and so many things that I want to be sure that we have. The pointer is the rest is not. I have an extra clicker with me if that helps. I have a lot of statements and a lot of things that I just don't want to do off the top of my head. Try it, okay? Let me try it. Oh, there we go. Okay, here we go. All right. Let's read together Councils on Diets and Foods, page 74. One important part of the work of ministry is to faithfully present to the people the health reform as it stands connected with the third angel's message as a part and parcel of the work. The important part of the ministry is to present the health reform message. So some people say, well, I just need to present Jesus. That's all. That's all that matters. We are told that one important part of the work of ministry is to faithfully present to the people the health reform, not only for ourselves to be healthy, but to teach those around us also to be healthy. Because why? It's a part and parcel of the three angels' message. You see, we have had medical enlightenment a whole century in advance. Now, we have Ministry of Healing, Councils on Diets and Foods, Councils on Health, Mind, Character, and Personality. We have all of these books to help us a whole century in advance. In fact, if some of you have Dr. Kellogg's biography and you've read that book on John Harvey Kellogg, you'll find that he was asked, how is it as a physician you are so ahead of your time? And he simply answered, if Ellen White said it, I did it. And so I know that God gave her in 1863 in Otsego, Michigan, the first vision on health. And she had many visions from God. And so God gave it to her. And through the gift of prophecy, God has revealed the benefits of lifestyle practices. Now look, let's read this together on Councils on Diets and Foods, page 493, that she wrote in 1897. I have been given great light from the Lord upon the subject of health reform. Let's stop right there. I've been given great light from who? I've been given great light from the Lord. Let's read on. I did not seek this light. I did not study to obtain it. It was given to me by the Lord to give to others. So she says, I didn't seek this light. I didn't study to obtain it. God gave it to me. That must be wonderful. I'm actually working on a doctorate degree right now in original medicine, and I have to work for it. I have to study for it. I have 67 more credit hours to do to finish that, but I want to do it because I want to learn more. I want to be able to present more. I have a class coming up on Introduction to Oncology, Anatomy and Physiology, the scientific nutrition, all of these things, but I have to study for it. I have to really work at it. But she says, I did not seek this light. I didn't ask for it. I did not study even to obtain it. It was given to me by the Lord. Why? To give to others. So we have a responsibility to give this to others. And then she says, many, even of those who profess to believe this special truth for this time, are lamentably ignorant with regard to health and temperance. Who is she talking about? We, as Seventh-day Adventists, yes, the church, many, those who profess to believe the Seventh-day Adventist special truths for this time are lamentably, not only ignorant, but lamentably ignorant with regard to health and temperance. So we need to study it. We need to learn how we can present this to others. And then she says, as we near the close of time, we must rise higher and still higher upon the question of health reform and Christian temperance, presenting it in a more positive and decided manner. So we need to present this, my friends, in a positive manner. It is not, if I do it and you don't do it, I'm better than you. It's not a matter of salvation. It's not a matter of someone being better than anybody else. It's a matter of life and death. That's what it is. People are dying all around us because they're not following the health reform message. And they're dying from diseases that could be prevented. And so she says, we need to present this in a positive manner, not, you know, if you don't do it and I do it, I'm better than you. Present it in a very positive manner. When people come to our cooking schools, we just tell them, look, welcome to natural lifestyle cooking, or welcome to living to a healthy 100, or welcome to managing life stress. We want you to live longer, healthier, and happier. And so our goal is to give you principles that will help you to do that. And we want you to gather around our table as we do demonstrations and other things so that you can learn how to do this so that you can even live longer. We must present it in a very positive but a decided manner. I present things, and I know that if it's in the spirit of prophecy, in a very wise way, but boldly, I will present it. Because look, if science hasn't found it all, who knows that it will come? And so it will come. We will find it. And science is confirming the spirit of prophecy all the time. And so what are God's principles? Well, God has principles for good health. And he's given us eight simple natural remedies to achieve better health. And you know what I love about the eight natural remedies? Is that they work all over the world. It doesn't matter if I'm in Africa or India. I present these because I know that they work wherever we go. And in North America, in India, in Africa, in secular Europe, in all of these places, they work around the world, and they can do it. We just came back from Bulgaria in February, this last February, and Mark, we were presenting some evangelistic meetings there, but in addition to that, we were presenting the health message. And some of them said, I can't do this here because it's too expensive. I can't have all of these things that you're talking about, all these natural foods. And so I said, okay, let me go down to the market. And I went down, and I, one night on the platform, had a big table of all these foods. I mean, even the nuts and seeds and beans and greens and all the things that they had there, an enormous amount, including quinoa and all the rest, and had it on my table. And said, this is amazing, my friends. I got all of this food for 20 lef. Now, 20 lef is like $10. And I said, all of this for 20 lef. But look, if you buy meat and this cheese and all of these things, this is going to be more than double the amount for much less. They couldn't believe it. They saw it for themselves. And so I see that all of these things work around the world, including nutrition. And so it was exciting to see what God did in those meetings in Bulgaria. But here are the natural remedies. Let's read them together. Pure air, sunlight, abstemiousness, rest, exercise, proper diet, the use of water, trust in divine power. These are the true remedies. Now, why did she say these are the true remedies? You know why? because there were a lot of false ones going around. I mean, even so much so as if you wanted to be healthy, you needed to smoke cigars. I mean, even using quinine and all kinds of different poisons, and actually for what they thought were the remedies for health. And so someone said to me, "What is abstemiousness?" Well, that's easy to define, because it's simply this. Abstemiousness means temperance, and temperance means abstaining from everything that's harmful, like alcohol, drugs, tobacco, and caffeine, and using wisely that which is good. That's what abstemiousness is. It's a lifestyle, is what it is. And so these are the true remedies. Well, I put this into an acronym for myself, for my book. I have it in my cookbook here in the back. And I love New Start. New Start is a good acronym. It's great. It talks about the 8 natural remedies. And then you have Creation Health, which is a little more detailed than the New Start. And then you have even Celebrations from the General Conference, and I've used that around the world, and it's good. But I was trying to think of something, because I needed to copyright this in my book. What could I do for an acronym? Well, I was teaching wellness, and one day I was on the plane, and all of a sudden I started thinking, wellness, that takes in the water that she talks about. The E is exercise. I skipped the 2 L's for the moment, and then I said, wait a minute, N is nutrition, E is environment. That certainly takes in the air, the trees, the flowers, and all of these things. And, you know, we know that there are health-giving, life-giving properties in the balsam of the pine and in the trees. And then sunshine and sleep. And what am I missing? I'm missing abstemiousness, lifestyle. And then I'm missing trust in divine power. That's love and trust in divine power. So here I have it all wrapped up in the word wellness. And since then, we've been teaching wellness. And I have my new book coming out on wellness this next year. And so popularity and effectiveness of wellness programs continues to rise. People are exercising everywhere. People are joining health clubs. People recognize that these killer diseases, these chronic diseases, are affecting people everywhere. And so popularity and effectiveness of wellness programs is rising. In fact, MetLife, an insurance company, recently released their 9th annual study of employee benefits. And this is what the study found. The survey found that health and wellness programs have become a mainstream staple for many organizations, and one that's producing results. In other words, what they're saying is this: what we need is preventive medicine. We need preventive medicine. We need to teach people a lifestyle so that they don't get all these diseases. Now look, I recognize that we have now concluded very scientifically that we can actually reverse, not only reduce, but reverse heart disease on a plant-based diet. We have also discovered we can reverse, not reduce, just reduce, but reverse diabetes too on a plant-based diet. Cancer is very difficult. Once a person has cancer, yes, it can go in remission for a while, but most of the time it's fatal, especially colon cancer and some lung cancer and some of these cancers. And so what they're saying is, why should we pay all this money for insurance when we could put them into a health club? We could give them preventive medicine, and that's what it's going to. And what did they find in this survey? That 3 of the most popular things that people wanted was a program on weight management. That has to do with food and diet, right? And they wanted something on tobacco cessation and diabetes prevention. 2 have to do with food. And tobacco cessation, my friends, Seventh-day Adventists were the pioneers in the Stop Smoking Plan. In the 60s and 70s, when we started in ministry, this is our 50th year in ministry. And when we started in ministry, in the 60s, in 1967, and we were doing stop smoking plans, we would have 200, 300, 400, even 500 people out to the stop smoking plans. We were the head. We were bringing people all over the country to the program that Dr. Wayne McFarlane and Elman Falkenberg started, five-day plan to stop smoking. But we have almost become the tail now because other people are doing the stop smoking plans. Why don't we have them in our churches? Why don't we have them in schools? Why don't we have them in doctor's offices and all kinds of places today? People want to stop smoking. Now, I don't know about the statistics here in West Virginia for smoking, but if it's like the rest of the world, we have smokers. And people want to stop, but they can't. It's addictive. And so we could have stop smoking plans. But also, we can help reverse diabetes. We can help reverse the obesity problem. We have a serious obesity problem in this country. 66.2% are either overweight or obese in the United States of America. And so we have an opportunity to present some of these programs. And most recently, we've been doing a lot also on managing life stress. And one of the reasons people have stress is because they're getting these diseases, and then that leads to more stress. So we can teach them some of these health principles. And look, if we teach them a plant-based diet, because people want to know more about prevention for diabetes and some of these other chronic diseases, we have options readily available everywhere, in grocery stores, restaurants, hotels, buffets, airports, airplanes. I tell you, we just came back from Europe, and in the airport, they had vegan options. It was amazing. In fact, we were in England For several weeks, we were doing a stress management program, and we were meeting with the pastors and others there. And we went into several restaurants in St. Albans where we were staying. And my husband asked, he said, we're plant-based vegan vegetarians. And by the way, plant-based is probably a better name than vegan because there's some, connotations with the word vegan, so we usually say plant-based. But we went in there and they said, oh yeah, in fact they called it vegan, they said, oh, we have a vegan menu. We said, well, we're plant-based vegetarians, and could we see your menu? They said, oh, we have a vegan menu, gave it to us. We went to a pizza place and we thought, well, they probably have veggies and we could have, a lot of veggies and no cheese, and asked them, they said, oh, we have a whole vegan menu everywhere. We were in Switzerland, and we saw that they had plant-based options. In fact, this was a Swiss burger, a falafel burger. They had chicken nuggets. They had all kinds of things, falafel burgers and all kinds of different things, a schnitzel, whatever that was, but a plant-based vegetarian option everywhere we go. And some of you, how many of you saw the interview with former President Bill Clinton? A number of you. How many didn't? Okay, a number of you didn't, so I better tell you about it. Well, Bill Clinton was interviewed by CNN anchor Wolf Blitzer was interviewing him, and he said to him, Mr. Former President, I have a question for you. Why have you become a plant-based vegetarian? And he said, well, his first answer was, well, I wanted to lose weight for Chelsea's wedding, and he thought that was a way of losing weight, and it is and can be if we eat properly as well. But he said, the real reason is that I had a triple bypass, and I recognize my physicians have told me the only way to reverse heart disease is on a plant-based diet. And then Wolf Blitzer said to him, well, former president, what do you eat for breakfast? And he said, cereal. He said, what do you put on your cereal? He said, almond milk. And now you can find almond milk in every store, every grocery store, every Walmart, every place all around, because it became popular because of someone who was popular going on and sharing why he has done this. My friends, look, Ellen White says this in Medical Ministry, page 239. Let's read it. It, medical missionary work, is the gospel practice. You can read it with me. The compassion of Christ revealed. Of this work, there is a great need, and the world is open for it. The world is open for it, my friends. Now is the time to open the church. The door of health is open now, and now is the time to open the door of the church. If ever you had a ministry in your church that will bring people, I believe even here in West Virginia, it is the health ministry. Natural lifestyle cooking, managing life stress, depression recovery, diabetes undone, all of these programs will bring people in from your local community. We need to open the door of the church. The church should be open. You know, this is kind of a side thing, but when we were in China, we were learning how the work was growing in China, and we asked, how many days a week is your church open? And they said, oh, pastor, some of our churches are open the least amount, 5 days a week, and some 6, and some 7 days a week. How many days a week is your church open? The church is the least economical building in the world because it's basically used once or twice a week if we do have prayer meeting. It's used a couple times a week. And we are seeing that where the church is growing, the church is open at our center. And some have asked me about our center. We have a beautiful, and I was going to put up some slides, but I didn't, but we have a beautiful center in Virginia, in Haymarket, Virginia, a training center, a media center, a health center where we conduct health programs, and it is amazing. And when we are there, when my husband and I are there, we are open 7 days a week, every day. And people are coming. They're actually coming from our community, a middle to upper class community, where they're coming in and knocking on our door and saying, what's going on here? And so our churches need to be open. Ellen White says in Councils on Diets and Foods, page 76, medical missionary work is to be a great entering wedge whereby the diseased soul may be reached. And so this is the entering wedge. It is the right arm of the message where diseased souls can be reached. And she says, if we do that, look at what? Let's read this one together, Councils on Diets and Foods, page 76. Much of the prejudice that prevents the truth of the third angel's message from reaching the hearts of the people might be removed if more attention were given to health reform. Are some people prejudiced even against Seventh-day Adventists without even knowing who Seventh-day Adventists are? What do you believe? Who are you anyway? Much of that prejudice, she says, much of that prejudice would be removed from if we would give attention to health reform. And so we have this great privilege and honor. And she says, when people become more interested in this subject, which is health reform, the way is often prepared for the entrance of other truths. If they see that we are intelligent regard to health, they'll be more ready to believe that we are sound in Bible doctrines. I know that to be true. I've seen literally scores and scores, I don't know, maybe even hundreds by now, that have come to our cooking classes who are now Seventh-day Adventists. And I remember two people sitting in the front row in my class, cooking class, in Chicago. And at the end of that series, and this is a key of transitioning people from the health to the biblical. And at the end of that class, we simply said something like this. Now, ladies and gentlemen, our friends, you've been coming to the nutrition class for the last 5 weeks now, and we've talked about health. You've come to us and said, how excited you are that you've learned principles to live 10 or even 12 years longer. But look, we have another seminar coming up where we can help you to live a million trillion years longer through all eternity. This has been a health seminar. Although we've talked about God giving us all these beautiful and wonderful foods, fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables, we have not said too much about God, but we have another seminar coming up called Ancient Discoveries. And if you would like to come to that seminar, then just, ushers, would you pass out the brochures right now? And we pass out the brochures. And in there, there's a pre-registration card. And no one feels like they're, you know, that it's awkward for them, because when you go out the door, if you would like to come, you just hand that pre-registration card to the host or hostess at the door. And they just quietly hand us the pre-registration card. I had two ladies in Chicago sitting in the front, and one lady said to the other, "Are you going to that biblical seminar?" And the other lady turned to her and she said, went like this, "Why, of course. They had something good to say on health, didn't they? They probably have something good to say on that good book, too." And Marge came every single night to the health seminar. She came every night to the health seminar, but then she came every night to the evangelistic seminar. And at the end of that series, Marge was baptized. And we have seen this again and again and again in our health programs. So if they see that we're intelligent with regard to health, they will more readily believe that we are sound in Bible doctrines as well. They can see that we are living, can live to a healthy 100. In fact, this was one of the first programs that we did at our new center, Living to a Healthy 100. When people came in there, we wanted to positively present Living to a Healthy 100. And we said, "Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Living to a Healthy 100. We are going to be talking about how you can live to that healthy 100. And you know, there are civilizations, there are places around the world, 5 places in the world, where people, not just a few, but pockets of people, are living to a healthy 100. From Okinawa, Japan, to Costa Rica, yes, and Loma Linda University, even in Loma Linda, California, there are people that are living to a healthy 100. And we're going to go over principles that will help you to do that. And they are excited about that. And then another program that you can have in your church is Creation Health, where you're talking about choice and rest and environment and activity and trust and interpersonal relationships. And then Outlook, and also nutrition. There are many, many programs that we can do around the world. And in fact, in South America, they're doing a lot on creation health and having good success with it. God's Health Assurance Plan. This is where I present the 8 natural remedies and wellness. You can have that. Also, going through each one of these individually. When we presented this and just the water, people didn't recognize that most people were dehydrated and didn't know it and need to drink more water. They're not drinking enough water, and it is also an actual reliever of chronic pain. The older you get, the more people get this chronic pain, and one of the reasons is that they're dehydrated, not drinking enough water. We need at least 8 8-ounce glasses of water every day. And reading the whole book, a book on water by a physician who says, "You're not sick, you're just plain thirsty." And you're just plain thirsty. And so we go over water and everything about water. And then we're giving hydrotherapy treatments. If you want to get rid of this headache, you know how you can do that? If you just take a pill and pop a pill, that's just going to cover it up. But let us show you how we can actually get rid of a a headache. And then we have an actual demonstration of a person up here. We wrap them in a blanket, we wrap them all up, and we put their feet in hot water, adding more hot water to the pan, to the bucket, and then putting cold water on the head, and we share with them how the blood actually goes from the head down to the feet, and you actually get rid of the headache. And you should see how excited these people are who come. And then our exercise class of how we actually get them exercising and realize that probably they are too sedentary, not getting enough exercise. And so then we go through lifestyle. We cover everything from alcohol to tobacco to caffeine. Even our church members need this. Caffeine is coming in like a storm into the Seventh-day Adventist church. And it's addictive. It's a problem. And Ellen White talks clearly about this. So we go over some of these, and it's very exciting. And then weight control. The obesity problem around the world is rising. In many countries, over 56% are overweight or obese. Now, when we were in China, I had to give them credit for what they were doing. I had to just praise them. And I said, you know what? In my country, 66.2% are either overweight or obese. And we really have a problem that we need to work on. But here in China, you have a low obesity rate. It is way down, 20%. I said, it's low. You have to tell me, why are you way so low in China? And someone yelled out, Mrs. Finley, it's because we eat with chopsticks. And I thought, you know what? Maybe so. Maybe they're not eating as much food as we are with all that we shovel in and we don't burn off those calories. And so we have a problem, an obesity problem that we need to work on. Bring people into your church and they'll love you forever if you can help them lose weight. And so we have all of these things. Diabetes is on the rise. We can teach natural lifestyle cooking is going to reduce the diabetes. It's not only lack of exercise, but it's also eating the wrong foods that's causing some of these. And diabetes statistics show hundreds of new cases of diabetes diagnosed daily. 20.8 million people in the U.S. alone have diabetes too, and over 14 million are unaware they even have the disease. Diabetes is on the rise, my friends, and it's because they're not eating the right foods, too much sugar, too much fat, and it's not just sugar, it's fat as well, and because there's a high rise in the meat consumption. And then natural lifestyle cooking. This is, of course, one of my favorite classes that I teach. I've been teaching natural lifestyle cooking since 1969. Now, that's 48 years that I've been teaching this. Now, I'll tell you the reason that I went on. First of all, when we first went into ministry, I had a lady that came up to me, and she said to me, honey, come play the piano. And I said, now this is when we first were in ministry. I'm young, okay? I'm in my 20s, my early 20s. She said, honey, come. She grabbed me by the hand. Honey, come play the piano. And I said, I don't play the piano. She said, oh, honey, just an opening and a closing song will do. And I said, you don't understand. I don't know where to put my fingers. I've never had piano lessons. I became an Adventist in my mid-teens, and I had to work my entire way through academy and college. I never had time to take piano lessons or any other music. And so she said, oh, honey, please. I said, I don't know how to play the piano. She said, oh, every pastor's wife plays the piano. Well, needless to say, I thought, I better go take at least a few piano lessons to play an opening and a closing song, which I did from Virginia Jean Rittenhouse's mother that lived not far from me. And that's about all I could play, but I could at least sit down and play. But I thought, what talents do I have as even a pastor's wife? I don't play the piano. I don't sing. But then I read this statement. Let's read it together. Councils on Diets and Foods 251. The one who understands the art of properly preparing food and who uses this knowledge is worthy of higher recommendation than those engaged in any other line of work. Pretty powerful, huh? Pretty powerful. This is worthy of higher recommendation. Then she says this. This talent should be regarded as equal in value to 10 talents, for its right use has much to do with keeping the human organism in health. There it is, my friends. If you cook and you use this knowledge, you share it with somebody else, you have 10 talents that you can use for Jesus. You have 10 talents right there. Not one talent, not two, not five, but you have 10 talents. And so we can use these talents for Jesus. Well, I thought I'm going to use that for the Lord. I was just told that every pastor's wife plays the piano, but that wasn't my gift. And so I taught my first cooking school. Now, this wasn't it. This one was Los Angeles, actually, with our picture there. I had my first cooking school, and it was pretty rough. My husband was in a district, 3-church district. They said, Pastor, you can't go anywhere but up because it's so far down. One church meets in, one church is half dead. The other church meets in a graveyard in the morgue where they kept the dead bodies. That's where the Sabbath school class is, if they even have anybody coming to Sabbath school. And so we're going to have to reach out to the community. And so he started Bible studies, put a little ad into the paper, got 30 Bible studies going. Then he said to me, you need to do a cooking school. I said, Mark Finley, I have never done a cooking school. I taught grades 5 through 8. I studied elementary education. I know nothing about a cooking school. He said, oh, it's easy. And I thought, easy? If it's so easy, then you do it with me and you do some scientific information and material. And he's been doing that with me ever since. It's been amazing. But at that first cooking school, something happened that caused me to do this the rest of my life, and I'm still doing it, just did it a few weeks ago, was this. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to do it. I just had to try to figure it out. There were no plant-based vegetarian cookbooks in those days. There was nothing. There was no instructor manual. Today, I have an instructor manual. Today, I have a cookbook. Today, I have a workbook. I have pictures for every single recipe in this book. And I didn't have that in those days. So I had to just figure out how I was going to do it. And just did it. But I thought, well, I'll have a few samples at the end in our home. We have a blessing before that, so I will have a simple blessing. At the end of that class, a young lady in her late 20s came up to me and said, I noticed you had a blessing before we had the samples. I just wondered, why are you doing this? And I said, well, I didn't even know how to answer her. I said, well, I think we're physical, mental, and spiritual, and maybe if we, you know, have good physical bodies, then we'll be open for spiritual things. And I thought, ooh, what did I just say to her? And thought maybe I'd said the wrong thing. But then she said, do you give Bible studies? And I said, yes, we give Bible studies. My husband was giving Bible studies. And so we had Joanne come. After a few weeks, she said, my husband is a high school teacher in town. He's never heard these things. Could he come? We studied with Dave and Joanne, and after several months, they were both baptized. They introduced us to his parents. We studied with them. They were baptized. Then they introduced us to his sister and her husband, and they were baptized. I said, wow, 6 people baptized in that disastrous cooking school. I will do this the rest of my life, Lord. And I have. If I can see that we not only help people to live longer here in this life, but also we can bring them to know Jesus and bring them into the God's remnant church. And so I've been doing that for the rest of my life. And then after that, when we were still young, we went to the Georgia Cumberland Conference to work with Pastor W.D. Frazee, and he was teaching us, yes, I know, pretty bad hairdo there. We had only two children at that time. Since then, we had a third one. But we were working with Elder Frazee. At that time, we met Elder John Tyndall. And I don't know, do some of you know who Elder John Tyndall is? Well, let me tell you about John Tyndall. Elder Tyndall, was a lawyer who had become a Seventh-day Adventist, studied for the ministry, became an ordained minister, went to Loma Linda, and did the Masters of Public Health. And during this time, Ellen White, February 27, 1910, had a vision. And in that vision, God showed her that there must be a decided change in methods of evangelism, that we shouldn't have just one preacher. We shouldn't have just one person and everything revolving around that, but that we should have companies of workers, that we should have physicians, we should have nurses, we should have call porters, we should have Bible workers, we should have all literature ministry people, all of these people working together in what she called company evangelism. Well, we spent many hours sitting at the feet of both Elder Frazee and Elder Tyndall because Elder Tyndall was asked to follow that vision of February 27, 1910. He was asked to go out and demonstrate that vision. And so he had teams of workers. He had nurses, physicians. They were doing health meetings in their evangelism. And God was blessing, and they were baptizing literally hundreds all over America. And so while we were there, they said to us, you need to do this, have a team of a doctor and health and demonstrations along with spiritual. So we asked Dr. Hansen to join us, and he had something on the physical, and I had a simple demonstration, and then Mark had something on the spiritual. And at the end, Elder Tyndall's last meeting. He was 93 at that time, but his mind was sharp. He was sharing with us what the prophet shared with him and how to do this. I mean, think about how excited this young couple was to be in the presence of both Elder Frazee, who was trained under Elder Tyndall, and Elder Tyndall, who was asked to follow the vision of Ellen White. And so we said, share with us more about this. Well, when we came to the end of that meeting, Elder Tyndall came and put his arm around my husband, and he said this, Brother Mark, always called him Brother Mark, dear Brother Mark, this is what the prophet commissioned us to do. You are young, go and do it. And it was that prompted us to go into company evangelism in the Southern New England Conference and do company evangelism. It was that motivated us into our Soul Winning Institute in Chicago. It was this motivation that motivated us to go to Europe and have company evangelism all over Europe. And then it was that motivated us to start the center that we have now. Because we need companies, we need workers, that's groups of workers, physicians, nurses, call porters, Bible instructors, all of these people working together. And so we started doing more natural lifestyle cooking. I had this, my old book at that time, and we didn't have materials. We didn't have things that churches could do in those days. But then I wrote this one book that Mark and I did, for natural lifestyle cooking. But today, we have the cookbook, we have the workbook, we have the instructor book, we have the DVDs, we have everything you need to start a natural lifestyle cooking class in your church. And so we have a whole kit of a cookbook, a workbook, an instructor's manual, DVDs with 7 30-minute programs of actual demonstrations, advertising brochures, radio, newspaper articles, radio spots. We just have simple flyers like this for our advertising, and people are coming. In fact, the largest cooking school that we've ever had was in Chattanooga, Tennessee, in the convention center. Over 700 people came to that cooking school. It was amazing because not only did we have advertising brochures, flyers, newspaper articles, radio spots, but we had television spots as well. And so we have the materials today that you need. And what are the sources of instruction? I use the Bible. Genesis 1:29, when I'm talking about a plant-based diet, fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables. We use the gift of prophecy very wisely, but we use it. And, of course, science. And we cannot afford to miss this opportunity, my friends, to make a difference now. God has opened the door, and he invites his people to take advantage of the providential opportunities that he's provided. He longs for his people to be leaders in their communities in healthful living as a demonstration of his way of life. And so the key is this, to develop a strategy, a follow-up program, a follow-up strategy. Develop a plan for follow-up after your cooking school or your stress management or whatever course or programs you're going to offer next. Programs ideally should cover a variety of subjects and have a follow-up plan. What we do is have a plan for the entire year. And how do you develop a health ministry? It's this simple. You get a health ministry director of your church. Who is interested in health today? Many people. Pastors, if you're here in the sound of my voice, get someone in your church to be a health ministry director. This last year, I was a health ministry director, and I said, I want something to happen. I don't want to just take that on. And so I invited someone to be my assistant, and eventually I asked two more. We had four of us, then six of us, and then 10 of us working in the health ministry. We had 18 health ministry programs this last year. And so you can get someone to be the health ministry director, someone to be the associate, and get a team, because it takes a team. No one person can do this alone, and no one person gets the credit. It's Jesus that gets the credit, and God will work. And you have a sequence of health programs. You plan. What do you want to do? Do you want to start with a health expo? Do you then want to have a breathe free or stop smoking or natural lifestyle cooking or a wellness program or stress management? What are you, or diabetes undone, or Dr. Nedley has a wonderful program of depression recovery. There's all kinds of programs out there that you can have, Creation Health as well. But at the end of every program, we have what we call Yours for the Asking. It's in the instructor's book. I have a whole page on Yours for the Asking here in the instructor's book, and it says simply this: we want to help you achieve life's greatest happiness. Please check the items below that interest you most. I would be interested in a complimentary copy of Vibrant Health or whatever magazine you have here. Just check that box if you would like a magazine. You see, the church should invest a little bit into health ministry, because when you do, it will truly be an investment project, because you will reap the results of getting much more back as people come into the church. Please place my name on your mailing list for upcoming health programs. Just check that box. I'm interested in attending the following classes: natural lifestyle cooking, stop smoking, depression recovery, stress management, wellness, creation health, whatever it is. Just check that box. I'm interested in more information about becoming part of an informal Bible study group. If you'd like to join an informal, see, if we never throw out the bait and ask people to join, we'll never get them. So we just check that box. I would like absolutely free a series of Bible study lessons. Check that box if you'd like some Bible study lessons. I'm interested in studying Bible prophecy by watching DVDs. Just check that, and you can turn these in at the end of the program. Do you know what? We just finished 18 programs plus archaeology in our new center, and we had over 50 people attending, 25 non-Seventh-day Adventists that are coming regularly to our church for great doctrines on the Bible. They checked the Bible. They want to come. And so we offer them something at the end of each program. And then we may offer them to to come to the evangelistic meetings. We do that many times at the end. You can come to Ancient Discoveries or Revelation of Hope or whatever you're having. We've had people transition in one program, one cooking school, a series of cooking schools where I had them for like 5 weeks. We had 100 people transition from the cooking school into the evangelistic meetings. So you transition people into the spiritual from your health programs. And then you incorporate some way in your health programs something on the spiritual so that it's not so new for them when they, you know, they don't feel like, well, you haven't even presented anything scriptural here. So I use texts like this at the end of my cooking school or the end of my wellness or the end of many of the programs, Living to a Healthy 100. I use 3 John 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. And I say, you know, God is interested in you prospering. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to live longer. He wants all of this for you. And then you can transition even more easily into your spiritual programs. But in the next few minutes, I have only about 15 minutes, I want to just a little bit teach you on how we can teach natural lifestyle cooking. Well, let's first read this statement in Councils on Diets and Foods 451-52. We should educate ourselves not only to live in harmony with the laws of health, but to teach others the better way. So we should live it ourselves, but also not just for ourselves, but to teach others the better way. So this is the cooking school I just did in our new center, and we have all kinds of displays. I teach people that, you know what? Did you know that do you want to live a year or 2 years longer? Would you like to live a year or two years longer? Sure you would. Of course we all would. Well, I can tell you something. If you eat 4 foods, it's been proven that you can live at least 1 year longer by just 4 foods. You want to know what those 4 foods are? Anybody want to know what they are? And oh yes, they're all excited. They're beans and greens, nuts and seeds. And look, we got all these greens right here. We've got these Boston baked bean pots. We're going to bake some beans. We're going to have some good white beans and black beans and all kinds of beans. So we need to be eating some of these foods. People are excited about natural lifestyle cooking. We have wonderful displays and demonstrations and all kinds of things. So what are some simple principles of good nutrition? I have many, but I'm only going to share just one or two with you this afternoon. Principle number 1, for good nutrition means choosing the right kind of food. That's what it is. Well, what's the right kind of food? Well, let's look at Genesis 1:29. And I actually use this in my meeting. I say, what's the right kind of food? Let's read it. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. So God says, fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables. That's it. The Eden diet was a vegetarian diet. And that's why you've come tonight, to learn how you can have a plant-based diet and live longer. The Eden diet was a vegetarian diet, and medical researchers have discovered that some foods are protective against those killer diseases of the 21st century. What are those killer diseases? Heart disease, cancer, stroke, diabetes, obesity. All of these things are contributing to death today. What are these protective foods? Well, researchers have found that protective foods are the plant-based foods, such as fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables. And when I have all this display there, and they see the fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables, we say, wow, isn't God wonderful? He's given us not only all this delicious food, but he has given us all these variety of colors. Look, he could have given us just one color or one food, but he's given us all of these things. And people are amazed as they come and they say, I never realized that You could do all these things on a plant-based diet. And they're all excited. And then I say, population groups who eat a wide variety of these protective foods have a reduced rate of cancer and heart disease, and you can even reverse heart disease. And documented scientific evidence confirms the validity of a plant-based diet. We can't improve, my friends, on the Creator's plan given in the beginning. And this is where I just have little innuendos to the spiritual. We can't improve on the Creator's plan. He has the best plan for us. So what are some advantages of a total vegetarian diet? Well, Ellen White says clearly the liability to take disease is increased tenfold by meat eating. Now I'm back to you now. I don't use that. I use it in a little different way. I actually have a picture of meat, and then I say the liability to take disease is increased manyfold by meat eating, tenfold by meat eating, and I will use that. But she says, not an ounce of flesh meat should enter our stomachs. The eating of flesh is unnatural. We are to return to God's original purpose in the creation of man. So we have an opportunity, my friends, with over 50% Seventh-day Adventists still eating meat that are not vegetarians. We have an opportunity to present this to our own church family. Not only the public, but our own church family. Many people are dying because of these diseases. And look, science is backing it up. I have a whole 2-page article that I give out to my class, but I just took a short portion of this for you today. An article titled Animal Protein Linked to Death by Thomas Campbell. Thomas Campbell Jr., who's a medical doctor as well, it was his father who wrote the China study. And this was as late as August 29, 2016. And he says this, those that consumed the most animal protein compared to plant protein had a higher risk of death, particularly cardiovascular disease, a risk of death in cancer and cardiovascular disease. So we have an opportunity to present not only what we know as Seventh-day Adventists, but what science is telling us today. She says, grains, fruits, nuts, and vegetables constitute the diet chosen for us by our Creator. And these foods, prepared in as simple and a natural manner as possible, are the most healthful and nourishing. So when I have my big display up here of fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables, I tell them the very best diet that you can have is eating a wide variety of fruits, nuts, and seeds, grains, and vegetables in as natural a state as possible. That's the very best diet. But we're going to show you how you can replace meat tonight. We're going to show you some oat burgers and some millet patties and some wheat germ patties and all of these, some quinoa patties and some vegetarian meatballs and some vegetarian lasagna and some falafels and all kinds of things that are just made from fruits and grains and all of these other things, fruits, grains, nuts, and vegetables. And she says, again and again, I've been shown that God is trying to lead us back step by step to his original design that man should subsist upon the natural products of the earth. We have so much counsel that we can give the public much more than anyone else who does cooking schools. Yes, the world may conduct them, and I know they do because I was in Whole Foods recently, not too long ago. And it was interesting to me that they were having a plant-based cooking school right there at Whole Foods. So there are other people doing it, but we have so much more information in all of these books. If you don't have Councils on Diets and Foods in your library at home, you should go run to the ABC and be sure to get that because we have a lot of information in that one book. She says, these fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables impart a strength, a power of endurance, a vigor of intellect that are not afforded by a more complex and stimulating diet. This is what she's saying. Good. Wow, you're going to be stronger. You're going to have greater endurance. You're going to be sharper intellectually. You're going to have all these things when you eat a natural diet. And then she goes on to say that cancers, tumors, and pulmonary diseases, which are lung diseases, are largely caused by meat eating. Now, some have asked, why are even Seventh-day Adventists getting some lung diseases when they've never smoked? She says, cancers, tumors, and pulmonary diseases are largely caused by meat eating. Now, I recognize that there are some hereditary and environmental factors. The experience that my husband told you about this morning about MGUST, or pre-multiple myeloma, actually some of that was actually stemmed from being in Eastern Europe and Russia when they had the Chernobyl disaster and all the rest, and we were eating the food, drinking the water. My children were in school in England, so I didn't go up to some of those places in Eastern Europe or Russia at that time, and some of it is environmental. So we can't judge what has happened in another person, but we do know that if we are constantly eating this meat, that cancers, tumors, and pulmonary diseases are largely caused by meat eating. We need to help our church and our neighbors, our friends, our working associates to have a better way. And she says, many die of diseases wholly due to meat eating when the real cause is scarcely suspected by themselves or others. So we have, and she says, the light given me is that it won't be very long before we shall have to give up using any animal food. Even milk will have to be discarded. Disease is accumulating rapidly. This was written in 1899. This is well over 100 years later. Now is the time. We have all the substitutes that we need today. We have all the nutrients. She says clearly, she says, in fruits, nuts, grains, and vegetables are all the elements we need to make good blood. So we know that all the elements are there. And so conducting your natural lifestyle cooking class, my friends, enables you to cooperate with the Creator in sharing His eternal principles of health. As a people, we've been given the work of making known the principles of health reform to others. And so we want to do that wherever medical missionary work is carried on in our large cities. Cooking schools should be held. And so what are the classes? I'll just simply go over them and we'll end there. We do 7 classes in natural lifestyle cooking. We start off with homemade bread making, made easy, non-controversial subjects. We do making breakfast a better meal. We do meal balancing. My workbook in meal balancing shows how that even the USDA has come around from the basic 7, the basic 4, to my plate. And now Harvard University says we need to even improve on that and have whole grains, not just grains. We need healthy protein, not just protein. And in our workbook, we show all of that. And then advantages of a plant-based diet, simple suppers, holidays and special occasions, simple healthful desserts. So there are many, many programs that you can have. I tell you, we have all the materials. We have cookbooks with all the recipes. And we share with people how they can go through and make some of these good, healthy proteins even without the use of any meat, and how they can truly live longer, healthier, and happier. And so I pray that God will bless you as you determine to go back to your church and have some kind of a health ministry so that you can get people from your community into your church. Now, I usually have time. I have much, much more than this. We're trying to put into a little over an hour what we do in several classes, but I usually like to have time for questions and answers, but it's time to stop. So if some of you have some specific questions, we'll be here to answer them. I know my husband is there too. He can answer some, or whatever. But may God bless each of you as you determine to do a health ministry in your church. Well, let's just pray together. Let's just pray together. Father in heaven, I pray that you would bless each one, pastors and lay people in this conference and people all around this conference. I pray that you would bless them as they determine to have a health ministry, a Bible study ministry, whatever it is in their church. But we know that many people will come in to a cooking school or a stress management program that may never come to our church. So help us to just launch out, be bold for Jesus, and do something that will make a difference in our communities. And we know that you will bless it, that you will send the people, because we know there are many on the verge of the kingdom waiting to be gathered in. So go with each one, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.